You're listening to a Share Radio podcast.
The Chinese New Year is upon us, which explains why 2017 has been designated the Year of the Rooster. Now, people may be questioning what this means for their luck or indeed their love lives, but how about their investment strategies, the financial markets and industries generally? Well, I'm delighted to say that this morning I'm joined on the line by Sarah McAllister. Now, she's a feng shui expert and founder of the Feng Shui Agency. She's going to give us her insights on the significance of the Year of the Rooster and what it means for the business landscape in 2017. Sarah, it's an absolute pleasure speaking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, let's sort one thing out. How is it pronounced? Is it feng shui? Feng shui? I've heard so many variations of this. I think you're the person to set us straight on this.
Well, I think it's however it's most understandable to most people. So feng shui, that's really fine. But if you wanted to be specific, it's feng shui.
Feng shui. Okay, so I'll try to be consistent then. Feng shui. Okay, that's great. So what is feng shui?
So feng shui is about harnessing your environment to leverage greater success in your life. And there's also a large timing aspect to it as well. So it's not just about space. It's about looking at your astrology, and it's about looking at the timing that you take certain actions. And it's quite strategic. It's when to lay low and just do preparatory work, and then when to step forward and take more bold actions, perhaps.
It's often associated with interior design, because we see these programs on the television where you have people saying, OK, then remove that object from your house and replace it with whatever, minimise your space to create a calmer environment. But that really seems to underrepresent it, because clearly there's so much more to it than furniture arrangement, isn't there?
Oh, certainly. The shape of the garden, the area of the town that you're in, even the sector of the city that you're in is also very influential. So interior design is a small part of it. And if you're in an apartment, it's very important, you know, to get that right, because you don't have any outside space. But yes, that is certainly what most people think, that it's about moving candles or pot plants or something.
But I understand that you've got classical feng shui. So how does that differ from the more Western interpretations that we have of a concept?
Well, I guess the Western interpretation would be that it's about ergonomics, and everything has to be rounded and curved and achieve a certain type of flow, which is all important. But the classical training will show you how to, a little like what I said earlier, how to combine space and time and leverage the intelligence of that, really, because the Chinese knowledge is deeply rooted in metaphors of nature. Okay, so the ancient Chinese would observe nature and how energy flows in nature. So you have all these expressions which are dynamics of energy. Okay, so they're just metaphors. When we say we're in the year of the fire rooster, it's a metaphor. Mm. Okay, so and so the classical training involves, you know, many, many years of study. It's not something you can do in an ebook or a weekend course, or go away to Singapore for a week and declare yourself a master, you know.
Do people do that?
Yeah, they do. And I still consider myself learning, and I've been learning since 1998, and I still don't know everything there is to know. I don't think I ever will.
So you'll never be a veteran then? 1998 sounds pretty impressive to me. But I love this term, the metaphor of nature, and it leads me quite nicely onto the current metaphor, which is the rooster. I mean, what are the characteristics of the rooster, and more importantly, how is one of these metaphors designated to a particular year? Because you may have the tiger, I don't know, the goat, whatever, but what are the characteristics of the rooster year?
Yeah, so the rooster is the metal energy of the autumn. Think about how the rooster crows. It's kind of expanding. It's a good year for PR because they will crow about themselves, basically. Okay. and you have five different types of each animal because there's five elements and then there's 12 animals, which leads to the 60-year cycle. So you asked how is this coming around? Well, it's based on the Chinese calendar. So you could have a metal rooster or a water rooster or a wood rooster, for instance. But here we're in the fire rooster and there's also the earth rooster. So the fire rooster is going to be a clash between fire and metal. Okay. Mm. Now, last year was that as well. It was a fire monkey last year.
Mm. This was the mischievous monkey, wasn't it?
Yeah. The monkey expresses the playful but cantankerous and really strong side of the metal energy. But the rooster is a little bit more mellow. But having said that, the yin fire can be a bit more dangerous as well. And there is a portent called fire under the mountain, which is potentially very explosive. And it's also very secretive. If you think of a volcano, again, this is a natural image, right? The volcano is very powerful and closed in the earth, and then all of a sudden it will erupt. So you could see yet more turmoil. And I find it quite interesting that Trump is potentially going away from the gold standard. That's what he wants to.
Yeah.
Fire melting the metal, it's not always a bad thing. It could be a good thing.
Yeah.
I
was going to say, I'm glad you mentioned Donald Trump as well, because I was going to work him into the conversation. How can you not work Donald Trump into the conversation during the Chinese New Year? But I thought it was fascinating as well about the rooster cawing. And of course, Donald Trump isn't averse to making his presence known, be it verbally or, of course, on Twitter.
Absolutely, but to answer your question in the broadest sense, the financial markets might be a bit turbulent again this year.
Mm.
But if you look at it's important for listeners to understand that it's not just the Chinese animal, because each year has a time of birth, basically, like a horoscope of its own, which just like a person does. So a person will have their main Chinese animal and then be born in a month. So there could be a dragon born in the month of the tiger, born in the day of the rabbit, at the hour of the rooster, for instance. And how all these coincide with one another is really, really fascinating, because you come up with what's called a day master, which is your fundamental element from the five elements of the Chinese medicine. And then you look outside at what's happening in the calendar, in the environment, and you make your decisions based on, or certainly your feng shui consultant will advise you on those decisions based on that element. And it's really quite remarkable what you can tell about somebody, you know.
Sure. And I mean, it's obviously very complicated, because as you said at the beginning of our conversation, this is not the sort of concept that one can master in a handful of days or weeks. It is a lifetime of learning. So given that, how can you incorporate the year of the rooster, or indeed whatever the following year happens to be, the animal accorded to that, how can you use that in an investment strategy? Because a lot of people will say that it seems terribly abstract, whereas if you're going to make a decision about where you're going to put your money in, you need to go on fact.
Absolutely. I hear that question, and it's a valid question. But, you know, science is showing us with more and more that there is so much of this world that we don't understand. In fact, the more we discover, the more we realize we don't understand. And to me, the Chinese wisdom is all about the energy that moves through life. Okay. And scientists up until now haven't exactly been studying that. And it's not to be dismissed, because in fact, I would say that past performance in somebody's life does indicate future performance, right? It's the reverse when you look at investment. Past performance will not guarantee future performance and all that. But you can actually see from asking people questions of what happened in the past, letting them tell you what happened in the past. You look at their chart, and you can also advise or suggest what also happened in the past, depending on how deep you're reading the chart. But the point is that these influences happen, whether we believe in them or not.
Mm.
So I'm not saying to people, abandon all facts, abandon your charts. But what I'm saying is, you know, get your office set up so that you don't have energy blockages based on the classical feng shui.
Mm.
You know, give it a chance. Look at, you know, so for instance, if you're a fisheries commission or trading companies or shipping companies, that's all water elements. So don't launch a new product when the water element is weak, for instance.
And do you find that businesses, obviously I don't want you to divulge your customers because there is the confidentiality, but do you find that amongst your customers, when you actually say this to them, are they initially sceptical, and do they, when they put it into practice, what sort of results do they come back with? Are they converts to feng shui?
Definitely. What happens is quite frequently people will come to me under the radar. They're working for banks, they're fund managers. They want to know about their private life, but they also want to know about the... Sorry, I had some feedback there. They do want to know about their next career move. Or, I mean, I advise the fund manager, for instance, about his personal life, but also some business aspects. But because of the climate of the psychology, perhaps, or the cultural expectations, I haven't yet been invited by a large bank to advise their team of traders, you know, very open to that. But I have been advising people who work for major corporations, and indeed other corporations who the CEO has perhaps been exposed to feng shui in Hong Kong, for instance. So there's some openness to this knowledge. So to answer your question, absolutely. I've had companies who have asked me the timing to launch tickets for a certain event, and they've sold out within a week, whereas it normally takes 3 to 6 months. I've had ceramicists say, we have no commissions. And then they said to me, please, could you reverse to feng shui, because we've gone from deathly quiet to ridiculously busy. We can't keep up. And beauty salons reducing their cash flow and all sorts of things. Sorry, reducing their outgoing of the cash.
Yeah. But...
All sorts of, great results for people.
I have to interrupt there because sadly time is our enemy.
Sure.
But Sarah, it sounds absolutely fascinating. I'm delighted that there are some good results to really back this up. And thank you so much for talking to us and really to letting us into feng shui, to giving us a greater sense of what it is, that it's not just moving cushions and arranging furniture. There's so much more to it than that. It's understanding, learning how to read nature and incorporating that into your life. And in our case, our investment life. From what Sarah says, it certainly works. But that was Sarah McAllister, the feng shui expert and founder of Feng Shui Agency.